What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Welcome back to our show here. It is Thursday, February 24th, 2022. Sure happy it's Thursday, sure happy it's Thursday, and so forth and so on here. We have got so much to talk about today. It is a big, big news day. We're going to get right on into it. And Mike is in our control room taking care of business. So let's get into the news here, and we'll open the phones at the usual time for your comments and questions. Okay, as you're probably already well aware, Russia has uncorked big time on Ukraine. I had been thinking, actually hoping, that Putin would stop at the western edge of the Donbass, but no, he's going for all of Ukraine, and it is a real mess over there, and, you know, everybody's out there trying to exploit it politically and so forth and so on here. Russia says they have destroyed over 70 military targets in Ukraine. They're using their precision weapons to take out radar stations, command posts. And 11 airfields, 3 command posts, 18 radar stations of the S-300 and Buk M1 anti-aircraft missile systems. A Ukrainian military helicopter and 4 drones had also been shot down. And eyewitness reports indicate the Ukrainian army actually fired the first shots in the war with Russia. And don't forget, Ukraine started shelling the Donbass a week ago tomorrow, and really precipitated the entire situation. But if you really want to know where this mess originated, we're going to talk about it a little bit more later in the show. This goes back to that 2014 U.S.-backed coup d'etat that ousted the democratically elected government of Ukraine and installed the junta under Poroshenko. So we'll be getting to that later on here. Anyway, fighting is raging around Ukraine. Russia invaded from 3 sides, from Crimea, Belarus, and from Russia proper. And Russia says they're attempting to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine. And they launched a huge missile attack, cruise missile attacks as well, Ukrainian targets. And columns of troops pouring across Ukraine's border from Russia and Belarus in the north and east, landing on the southern coast from the Black Sea and Azov Sea. So it is a major, major invasion. It's probably the biggest European military invasion since World War II. And so we're going to see what's going on there. Tanks are rolling in from Belarus. Airports and seaports have been seized by the Russian troops. And they're continuing to obliterate military targets. Now, pardon me. This morning was marked by a statement by Putin on the provision of military assistance to the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics. The decision was made following the demands of the DPR and LPR for military support. And the main objectives, as I just mentioned, is the demilitarization and denazification of Ukraine and the protection of the civilians in the Donetsk People's Republic and the Luhansk People's Republic, who had come under artillery fire from Ukraine. And this has been building for a while. Biden and Stoltenberg and Johnson and other Western leaders have been poke, poke, poke at the Russian bear, and the Russian bear just woke up and is showing its teeth here. So, according to the Associated Press, and remember, in wartime, everybody's lying, so you got to be really careful. But according to Associated Press, the Ukrainian armed forces have reported at least 40 of their soldiers have been killed since Russia launched its offensive into the country. And they said up to 10 civilians have also been killed. And if you look at our readers' letters section, we've actually been getting emails from inside Ukraine reporting on what the situation is like on the ground. And surprisingly, Russia has now seized control of Chernobyl, the ruins of that reactor. And when I first heard Russians were walking on it, I was saying, why would they bother? It's a radiation hazard. The site is being decommissioned. It doesn't generate electricity anymore, but it is of at least symbolic value, and Russia is now in control of that. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Zelensky has declared martial law and a curfew, and he's out there saying there's no panic. We are ready for anything. Well, apparently not, looking at how fast Russia is advancing. Units advancing from the Crimea have reached the, I don't know how to pronounce this, Dnieper River. And the Ukrainian military is holding up somewhat in the east, but the southern front is not really putting up much of a resistance at all. And the Russian military was able to break out from the Crimean isthmus and basically fan on out. And that's a disaster for Ukrainian, since the Crimean isthmus is a bottleneck. And if they had a chance of holding up the Russians, it would have been there. They have now lost that. Now, we're getting reports from the Lugansk People's Militia that several fighters of the 57th Separate Motorized Infantry Brigade of the Ukrainian Armed Forces voluntarily laid down their weapons and defected to the Lugansk People's Republic side. And even the Ukrainian forces are not happy with that U.S. puppet regime in Kiev here. Lugansk official is saying Ukrainian soldiers are abandoning their frontline positions. They don't want to be in a war, you know, against their countrymen. And this is going very, very fast. I would expect that Kiev is going to be completely surrounded within at most 96 hours. Okay, and we'll see what Zelensky is going to do. He's either going to try and fight it out inside Kiev, or he's going to go to Russia, go on TV and say, you know, my U.S. masters made me do it. Or he's going to take some of that huge amount of money that he siphoned out of Ukraine along with the Biden family and head off to the Caymans or some such other thing. But they're in trouble. They know it. Ukraine is now drafting reservists between the age of 18 and 60. Following a decree by Zelensky, the maximum service period is going to be 1 year. And I don't think I would. Well, this is going to be over and done with long before the year here. Now, Moscow is claiming the Ukrainian military has damaged two civilian ships in the Sea of Azov using missiles. The attack reportedly injured one person and caused a fire on board one of the ships. And one of the ships was the oiler SGV Flot. And there was a general cargo ship, the Serafim Sarovsky. And you've got to distinguish your targets there. And yeah, in war, bad things happen here. Now, Latvia is sending a gift of Stinger missiles. I don't know that they're going to arrive there or even if they can get there in a timely manner. And I was out on social media looking at the videos that were coming out of Ukraine showing the Russian aviation overhead. And I noticed how low they were flying. And I think they were doing it to make a point because they were well within the range of a man-portable missile, a man-pad, like a Stinger. And there's no way that Putin could know that there weren't any Stingers down there. So he was definitely taking a risk in order to make a statement. But if Latvia is able to pull this off, Ukraine will have Stingers to play with in the very, very near future. Now, Zelensky is admitting Ukraine has suffered serious losses after the Russian airstrikes basically took out his entire military infrastructure. Zelensky said he's also breaking diplomatic ties with Moscow, so there's going to be no talking their way out of the situation. And he urged Russians who had not lost their honor to protest their government's actions. And there have indeed been some very sizable demonstrations in Moscow. And the Moscow police are treating those protesters pretty much the way the Mounties treated the trucker convoy up in Canada. So I saw this video and I linked to it. There was an entire column of these Ukrainian tanks and they had just been chopped up by the Russian forces. I mean, just absolutely destroyed and abandoned, obviously, here. Meanwhile, Kiev citizens are being told to flee to bomb shelters now. They are concerned that Putin may start bombing the Ukrainian capital itself. I'm not entirely sure. It certainly would not be a politically advantageous thing for him to do. Russia has demanded that Ukraine surrender. So far, no response on that one here. People are leaving Kiev, and it is causing amazing traffic jams here. Location tracking company TomTom reports the three highways out of Kiev are basically, gridlocked, suffering major delays. And so people are definitely getting out of there. It is a mass panic. All right, speaking of getting out of Dodge, Russia says that over 96,000 Donbass refugees have crossed the border into the Russian republics. And the leaders of the Donetsk and Lugansk republics ordered the evacuation of civilians back on the 18th, warning that Ukraine was preparing an offensive. And since then, ceasefire violations in the conflict zone have spiked. Well, Ukraine was shelling the Donbass last Friday, which is really what triggered the current situation. Now, there is an article from Global Research, and it's saying the U.S. is the major instigator of the Ukraine conflict, and it lists out the historical facts going back to February of 2014, when there was a U.S.-backed coup that overthrew the Ukrainian government, which came to power in an election that was certified by the Organization for Security and Cooperation. It was an honest election, it was democratic, and the president, Yanukovych, was forced to flee for his life when the coup d'etat happened. Remember, it was the Maidan. And do you remember when, what's her name, the... I'm blanking on her name. She's now the assistant secretary for foreign policy. Victoria Nuland was out there bragging how it only cost the United States $5 billion to overthrow the Ukrainian government. Now, a lot of people, including George Kennan, had repeatedly warned throughout the decades that continued NATO expansion to the east would provoke a crisis. They were right. And we are now looking at that crisis. And, this could all have been avoided by Joe Biden, okay, because all Russia wanted was an assurance that Ukraine would not join NATO, and he wanted it in writing because, verbal promises by the United States aren't worth the oxygen they take. And Biden could have done that, and this could have all been avoided. And, Putin basically lost patience. He absolutely lost patience. He just wanted, the U.S. and NATO put it in writing that they would not expand east and invite Ukraine to join NATO. And because of that, we are now seeing a bloodbath in Ukraine. Now, we're hearing all kinds of spin on this, and over at the Libertarian Institute, they have a story. Putin's Donbass move threatens U.S. global dominance. U.S. global dominance is supposed to be a good thing. And, my observation is U.S. dominate the world. The U.S. government can't even properly run this country, let alone about going into other countries and saying, well, you should live your lives just the way that we do. And notably, again, going back to the coup in 2014, American hawks have been, and the corporate media, have been notoriously silent about the Kiev junta's atrocities against their ordinary citizens. Okay? Poroshenko was victimizing innocent people, including children, was harming America's reputation. And, the media and the war hawks stayed silent because, Poroshenko may have been a villain, but he was our villain, and he was under our control here. So, getting on back to 2014, following that coup d'etat, Crimea seceded and Russia recognized them. Russia could have, and in hindsight probably should have, recognized Donetsk and Lugansk at the same time. But, Putin was trying to keep things under control, and he just kept waiting for 8 years, hoping that some common sense would break out in Kiev. And, of course, it never did. Okay, so we already talked about Chernobyl here. There are still voices of calm out here. This is from Zero Hedge saying war between nuclear armed powers is not an option. And we are seeing calls for diplomacy surging. But we know that Ukraine has cut off diplomatic relations with Russia. They have ordered their embassy in Moscow to everybody has to come home. They're abandoning it there. Blinken called off his meeting with Russian officials. Nobody wants to talk. They want war because war makes a huge amount of money here. And one of the few things that Democrats and Republicans seem to agree on is to invoke their war powers on Ukraine. There is a bipartisan group of 43 members of Congress sent a letter to Biden to reassert the war powers vested in Congress under the U.S. Constitution and the War Powers Resolution of 1973. Okay? And so they're basically trying to say, you know, Congress will have the final say on what any of this is going to be about. Now, polls are not really favoring Biden's handling of Ukraine, or for that matter, pretty much his entire foreign policy. And we ran a poll on our page, you know, do you favor war in Europe? And overwhelmingly, of course, is no, because, you know, war is bad for children and other living things. To nobody's surprise, Twitter started censoring posts from Ukraine conflict frontline. There were all these videos coming on through showing what was going on, the Russian advance, the Ukrainian retreat, and Twitter suspended those accounts. Then they reconnected them saying it had all been a simple mistake and accident. No, I don't think so. They were engaging in censorship, and you know, they got caught. They got called out on it here again. Now, Biden was not exactly quick to respond to events in Ukraine today. I'm certain that the Secret Service woke him up as soon as the attack was underway. And we're supposed to have a news conference this morning. It didn't actually happen till this afternoon. And Donald Trump came on out saying that, you know, Biden's probably sleeping right about now, which is kind of funny because Claire said exactly the same thing. And to show you how disconnected some people are in this situation, John Kerry's response to the Russian invasion of Ukraine is, I hope President Putin will help us to stay on track with respect to what we need to do for the climate. Well, yeah, you want to talk about human-caused global warming? War is right up there at the top of the list. Now, the other day, Nancy Pelosi came on out bad-mouthing Putin, bad-mouthing Russia, and made a hideous mistake. She confused Ukraine for Hungary. And she was out there with a map, and she says, if you look at the map, you see Hungary and how it's encircled Russia, Belarus, Crimea. And then Pelosi went on to compare Putin to Hitler. You know, everybody compares everybody to Hitler. Trump is Hitler, and you know, I'm Hitler, and you're Hitler, and everything. She said, this is a very evil mood on the part of Vladimir Putin. And she said, this, my friends, is our moment. This is a Sudetenland, which was part of the early history of World War II. And, you know, Pelosi added that Putin does not want the Russian people to see what democracy looks like, and he's a master of KGB, 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 KGB. Okay, here's your rifle, Nancy. Okay. And again, nobody wants to talk about the U.S.-backed coup d'etat in 2014 as being, you know, the initiating event for all of this. Now, Biden did have his press conference later in the day and didn't really go all that well. He actually mispronounced Ukraine on a couple of occasions. And all he basically said is, we're going to put more sanctions, you know, all over Russia. And the reporters were out there saying, well, shouldn't you cut Russia off from the SWIFT? And Biden said, well, no, these new sanctions are even more, you know, more effective than cutting them off from SWIFT. The media was clearly not sympathetic to Biden, and they were asking some really hardball questions that Biden was struggling with. One reporter asked, is Putin going to hit America with nukes? And Biden said, I have no idea. Well, I'm sorry, you're the president. You're supposed to know these things here. Now, looking at the sanctions that Biden has imposed on Russia, they're basically the same ones that were imposed on Iran years ago, intended to bring the regime there down. And we know how well that worked out. We're going to take a break with commercials, and we'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We've talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadrepreciousmetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Born in the city with a silver spoon, great-grandson of the oil tycoon, raised by wolves, thinks he owns the moon, socialist banker to the one-world goons, Davy Rockefeller, chairman of the CFR.
Our show here, we're talking about the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and just now coming on in, and this is a bad sign, Ukraine's Zelensky is now calling on civilians to fight against the Russians, and he's going to provide them with weapons, because they got lots of weapons, everybody's been sending weapons in there, and that is a really ugly situation. I really don't imagine that the Ukrainian civilians are really going to be all that enthusiastic about it. But that's the latest headline there. Now, NATO is activating their defense plans for their allies, for NATO in Europe, and they want to enhance security in Eastern Europe. They're basically setting up a new border between East and West and a new Cold War, which will make the military contractors very, very happy. Since 9/11, the U.S. military-industrial complex has made $7.3 trillion with a T dollars. That's how profitable all this stuff is. And I'm old enough to remember the original Cold War, where the American people were soaked for all these weapons, which thankfully were never used, but they cost a lot of money anyway. And they're going to do the same thing again. We're going to spend lots of money on things that'll never be used. And, you know, go to Google Earth sometime and go over to Arizona to an area called the Boneyard and just see how large that is. And it's just filled with all of these taxpayer-paid-for relics, you know, war machines. So anyway, NATO is getting ready to basically toughen up and pound their chest and on their side of the border here. Now, over in Great Britain, the Defense Secretary Ben Wallace decided to poke the bear one more time and basically pointed to a 170-year-old conflict notorious for one of the worst military disasters in history today. That was the Crimean War. And Wallace claimed that the Britain had kicked the backside of former Russian leaders and can always do it again. Well, there's a slight difference here. In the 1850s, Russia was primarily an agricultural economy just starting to industrialize. Today, they are a major economic power. They're heavily industrialized. They have nuclear weapons. And unlike Russia in the 1850s, they do have allies, primarily China, which also has nuclear weapons. And Russia came on back responding to this comment by reminding them of the Charge of the Light Brigade, fabled in poems and movies, which was a major military disaster here. Now, oddly enough, with you know, Zelensky handing out guns to his civilians now, all of a sudden, the gun grabbers in this country are really kind of silent. And CNN did an about-face and said, yeah, it's a good thing when the civilians of a country, you know, are carrying arms to protect their state, you know. But only in Ukraine, not here in the United States, I guess. All right. Now, at some point, those who want this war to grow beyond the borders of Ukraine are going to stage a false flag, and it will have to involve NATO nations in order to impose Article 5. And so all of a sudden we're hearing all this talk about an imminent cyber attack by Russia against power plants and banks and communications, GPS navigation, water treatment facilities. Well, power plants and water treatment facilities, you know, being mission critical, they are air-gapped from the general internet. Just ought to start out on there. But that's the new propaganda story. They're talking about how a digital Cold War with Russia could threaten the IT industry. And a U.S. senator, the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Mark Warner, came on out and said a Russian cyber attack would trigger Article 5 of the NATO treaty and basically, you know, result in, you know, World War III. I mean, that's, we're on the doorstep of World War III. And, you know, we're getting pushed from behind here. Getting into non-war political news here, CPAC is out there in full swing. One American News has been covering it. The GOP is saying what the voters want to hear, and doing a very good job of it as well. We got to take another break. No, we got another 45 seconds here. Over in Illinois, State Senator Thomas Cullerton has resigned from office as of yesterday, as his lawyer tells a federal judge he plans to plead guilty to a 2019 indictment accusing him of almost 40 counts of embezzlement from a labor union. Okay, wonderful people, these politicians here. Little bit of good news, 25-year CNN operations manager has just joined Project Veritas as an executive producer. And so Project Veritas is really doing great work, and, you know, they're moving forward, and so good for them. Okay, now we're coming up on the commercial break, and we're going to have more news on the other side, so stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're going to talk a little bit about COVID. Obviously, with Ukraine dominating the news here, I have to sort of thin out some of the other areas of the talking points. It turns out, in the current situation, there is one and only one state that still has a mask mandate, and it's my former home, Hawaii. And every other state, has lifted the mask mandates, at least partly. It's still required in schools in some places. This whole COVID thing is winding down. Now, there's a lot of news that's floating around this recent discovery, and it's not really new because we talked about this some weeks ago, but it's now catching the attention of more and more in the media. In fact, One American News did a segment on it earlier today. Scientists have confirmed that inside the COVID-19 genome is a DNA sequence that was patented by Moderna years before the pandemic began. And this sort of reinforces the idea of a laboratory origin. And while they're still trying to say it came out of a cave or a bat or a fish market and everything, most biologists, doctors, and scientists, at least behind closed doors, are saying, yeah, this came from a laboratory. Was it a biological weapon? Well, it's not a very good one. Was it a sales tool to push the sale of vaccines, not to mention masks? Well, could very well be. Wouldn't be the first time that medical institutions deliberately made people sick in order to profit off of them. You know, Big Pharma, the medical industrial complex, does not want a healthy population. They can't make money off a healthy population. Just like the defense industries don't want peace. It's bad for business here. Out in California, which seems to be going further and further left all the time, they're going to drop off in the ocean in any minute here. They're proposing a new bill that would punish doctors who promote COVID, quote, misinformation, end quote. Now, this is happening while other states are moving to protect a doctor's right to treat patients as they see fit, including things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Okay, so, and yeah, your doctor should know best. You shouldn't be driven by economics and politics. It should be driven by what's in the patient's best interest, at least in theory. Getting on back to Canada, now yesterday we reported that Justin Trudeau, or Justin Castro, if that's what you want to call him, had rescinded the Emergency Act and ordered the Canadian banks to unfreeze the accounts of all the protesters and their supporters. But apparently, they are looking into the crypto, and they're working with Coinbase and Kraken CEOs who are reporting to police over tweets that support civil liberties and crypto wallets. And non-custodial wallets are wallets where the user keeps their own encryption key and are wallets that are impossible to regulate. And so they're very concerned that this would be a way of funding protests in the future that Trudeau could not, in fact, shut off if he wanted to. And we're getting a confirmation here that one of the reasons Trudeau backed off the Emergencies Act, we know that he was going to lose the vote in the Senate, but he had come under tremendous pressure from the Canadian banks, because as it turns out, people were pulling their money out of the banks because the banks were no longer seen as trustworthy by the Canadian people. You put your money in the bank, you expect it to be there when you need it, and all of a sudden, large swaths of the Canadian population were being told, no, you can't have access to your money. You know, the government says you're a bad person, we're going to keep your money for you. Well, you know, that destroys confidence and trust in the banking system, and the banking system basically put pressure on Trudeau and said, you got to cut this out right now. Meanwhile, down here in the United States, they are facing their own Ottawa moment. The trucker convoy is underway. They're putting out videos on social media. They're approaching Washington, D.C., aiming to get there on the State of the Union. Now, a U.S. Marine who is part of this program is sounding a warning that Antifa and drivers who have drunk the woke Kool-Aid are going to try and join the convoy in order to cause mayhem and make the convoy look bad in the American press. They're basically going to do the same thing to the truck convoy they did to the January 6th protests. There's going to be agent provocateurs going on in to cause all kinds of damage, false flags, in order to demonize them. Now, the D.C. National Guard, which is being called in advance of the trucker convoy, is already scrambling to find enough tow trucks to deal with this as the Freedom Convoy approaches. But they are expecting more and more truckers to join the convoy, and, you know, there may be more trucks than they have tow trucks to deal with here. All right, getting into the non-Ukraine international news, Chinese military aircraft entered Taiwan's air defense identification zone in the hours following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And it does not appear to have been a coincidence. Taiwanese air assets were scrambled in response. And a Chinese state pundit, Hu Zijing, weighed in on the PLA fighter jet breach of Taiwan, saying that China might be there tomorrow. And so this, botch up in Ukraine could actually, embolden China. Biden screwed up Afghanistan. He's not going to do anything about Ukraine. And China may say, well, we can take Taiwan. They won't do anything. They'll sanction us. Big deal. Big, hairy deal. They've sanctioned us a little bit. Because the U.S. needs China more than China needs the U.S. is the economic reality of that thing. Biden's in a rough spot. If he does nothing about Ukraine other than sanctions, he looks weak. That's going to work against the Democrats in the midterm elections. If he escalates and starts a major war, that is going to work against the Democrats in the coming midterms. So it's a no-win situation. But he wanted the job enough to steal it, and now he's stuck with it here. Meanwhile, the Russian invasion of Ukraine has played havoc with the stock market. At one point, the Dow was down about 700 points. Stocks and bonds are lower. Cryptos are lower. Gold and crude oil are definitely up. So we're already feeling the pain that Biden warned us would happen. Meanwhile, relative to Ukraine itself, they are now at risk of a default on their debts, very obviously. And so people are trying to get out of that exposure right now. Russian FX stocks have been routed as intervention fails. Okay, now the Bank of Russia is out there saying they're prepared to smooth out any emergencies, so they're going to try and keep it under control. But we're seeing the downside of globalism. A problem in one part of the world becomes a problem for the rest of the world. Okay. Getting on back to the idea of SWIFT, which Biden in his press conference said he's not entertaining at this time. Great Britain is pushing to get Russia out of SWIFT. Germany is saying no. And so that is probably going to be on hold for a while. Following the Ukraine turmoil, European natural gas has jumped 60%. That's a 60%. And it's definitely having an effect here. Meanwhile, Russia is offering a record discount price for its oil to basically reassure buyers. The buyers, however, are dealing with the problem of getting letters of credit from Western banks. The Western banks are now saying, well, the situation in Russia is fluid. Actually, it's in Ukraine. And so they're struggling to finance the traffic in oil. And it's going to get really chaotic for a while. Meanwhile, Putin may swap more of his U.S. dollars for yuan amid tensions. That's assuming China would actually want the dollar, considering how weak it is right now. Domestically, Rent-A-Center is giving a dire update on the state of the U.S. consumer. And you've got these low-end stores, Dollar Tree, Dollar General, and somewhere around them is Rent-A-Center, which caters to those Americans who can't afford to purchase furniture, TV, and appliances outright and whose credit is too bad to finance. And they are thus stuck renting out any certain aspirational product like a microwave. And it's a captive audience, and it's America's lower and lower middle classes right now. So, it's bad here. All right, getting into other news here. Okay, there is a study that came out of the National Institute for Criminal Justice Reform, and it reported on Washington, D.C. fatal and non-fatal shootings. It shows without a black population, our nation's capital would have almost zero gun crime. And this report found most gun violence is tightly concentrated on a small number of very high-risk young black male adults that share a common set of risk factors, which includes involvement in street gangs, previous criminal history, connection to another recent shooting. Often they've been victims of crimes themselves. And we've had callers into the show talking about this idea of where we're going to go lenient on sentences for black criminals because black criminals are disproportionately sentenced to jail. Well, this report is saying criminals commit a disproportional percentage of the crimes. But if you mention that fact, you're a white supremacist and a racist. Okay. Well, Biden is definitely back on his gun grabber program. I mean, disregarding CNN's pointing to Ukraine as the reason the people should keep and bear arms here. And, you know, the fact checkers who are we are supposed to take at face value keep assuring Americans that President Biden doesn't want to ban guns, but wants reasonable gun regulations. But judging by what Biden is saying, he either doesn't know much about guns at all, or he's calling for a complete ban on the vast majority of guns sold in the U.S., about 85% of them. He doesn't like semi-automatics. He certainly doesn't like the AKs and the ARs. And, you know, he wants to ban high-capacity magazines. And he basically came on out saying a Glock with a 40-round magazine is a weapon of war. And he says, I don't see any rationale to why there should be such a weapon able to be purchased. And, you know, back in 2019, Biden asked a question at this fundraiser in Seattle, why should we allow people to have military-style weapons, including pistols with 9-millimeter bullets that can hold 10 or more rounds? Well, Joe, you don't get to allow anything. Reread that Second Amendment. And when you understand it, you get an ice cream cone. So, now, between now and the midterms, the Democrats are backing off the gun control issue because it is an election loser, especially in rural areas like where I live right now, where pretty much everybody has a gun and they know how to use them safely. And we don't have a lot of gun crime around here, you know, unless you consider shooting a deer, you know, out of season. Yeah, it is a big loser. And, you know, people, you know, they're very concerned. First of all, we've got the skyrocketing crime in the cities. People want the right to defend themselves because the cops won't show up for anywhere between 20 minutes to 3 hours. I remember the one time I thwarted a burglary at our home in North Hollywood. And I called the police and said, you know, I chased the burglar off and they never even showed up. They didn't want to have a police report saying, you know, somebody stopped a burglar with a legally owned firearm here. Getting on to education here, it is really bad in the schools, and I can understand the animosity that these woke school boards are holding toward the parents who are starting to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is not what we want for our tax money. There is this U.S.-based Association for Private Schools is promoting sexually explicit LGBTQ content in school curriculums for children as young as four. I'm sorry, four-year-old children don't even have a clue about sex or gender. Let's let them grow up and develop naturally and figure out for themselves what they are. Let's not sell it to them. You know, as a fashion trend. You know, it's trendy to be gay or trans or LGBTQ. Okay? Just let kids be kids. Okay? But the curriculum guidance instructs that children be taught to question their gender identity beginning in pre-kindergarten. I mean, you're going to mess these kids up, you know, by doing that. What gender am I, you know? Well, you know, take a look down the front of your pants or dress and you'll know. That's what it is. There are two genders and everything else is variations on being gay. Over in Austin, Texas, the Austin Public Library is advertising a spring break sex education camp at multiple branches in the city. And they're actually going to pay students who show up up to $100, okay? And so they've got this sign-in page that says, get paid to learn about sex education. And, yeah, it's insane. I'm, you know, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I think sex education ought to really be determined by the parents. And I understand that some parents are repressed and, you know, they're not going to teach your kids about birth control and things like that. But when you have that LGBTQ gender questioning component in there, I don't think the school should have anything to say with it. I really, really don't. And whatever happened to reading, writing, arithmetic, science, art, music, engineering, the kind of things that make a, you know, well-rounded person growing up here? Then we have the story of Leah Thomas, who is still out there, biological male, still has all the plumbing, you know, competing in women's sports, sharing the women's locker rooms with them, which the women are not really all that pleased about here. And it turns out that these Ivy League parents, you know, are actually afraid to speak out publicly, even though Leah Thomas is basically taking athletic awards and scholarships away from their daughters. And that's exactly what it really is. It's insane here. And, you know, they've got wokeism and diversity in our military. Boy, Royce has got to be laughing about that one. Okay, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk.
back to our show here. We're talking about what's going on in, you know, the LGBTQ environment. And down in Texas, Greg Abbott has officially directed Family and Protective Services to begin investigating all trans children in Texas and prosecuting their parents as child abusers. Good for him. Now, meanwhile, up in Oklahoma, their legislature is advancing a Holocaust education bill. You know, gosh darn, too many Americans are questioning the propaganda that we got out of World War II. And, you know, we're going to just hammer it into their heads here, you know, right from the early days, which is why LGBTQ is trying to get to kids when they're really, really young, because you can fill them full of all kinds of beliefs. And as they grow up, their identity and personality forms around those core beliefs and makes it very, very hard for them to unbelieve. All right, now, I wasn't going to open the phone lines until the top of the hour, but we already have a caller. So let's go to Keith Rogers. Hello, Keith. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Good to hear you today. Hey, I just wanted to make you remember a Cross of Iron?
Yes. Brilliant speech.
You know, yeah, we're in a period of time where, you know, there's a lot of patriotism and stuff like that, but a lot of Americans should realize, especially from the photos that are coming out of Ukraine, that the United States and that junta that they pulled over there have been actively arming Nazis.
Yeah.
And then I sent you the information that the targets of Russia was all those U.S. bioweapons labs over there in Ukraine.
I saw that, and if Russia wants to target those bio labs, they would have to do it on the ground, because dropping a bomb on a biological weapons laboratory is a really dumb idea.
Right, and this also links back to Kazakhstan too, and also North Carolina. But anyway, there's what we call softening a target up for defense in those areas. But anyway, the main issue though is that when we watch what's transpiring over there, that all this could have been solved by the U.S. and NATO's guarantee of Russia's security, and U.S. and NATO failed to act on that, and so Russia took this under their helm, and it'd be no different than when, say, if Russia was to put a base down in Cuba or in Venezuela and stuff like that, you know, they're just acting on their security, and you can't blame anyone. But the main thesis of this, though, is that we have John McCain and Lindsey Graham that was there with Poroshenko.
Yes.
Actively backing these Nazis. I mean, this is a no-good scenario. You have to think of the 400,000 Americans that lost their lives in World War II allegedly fighting the same things.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's all I really had there. But, you know, you have to really draw a line between patriotism and all that gung-ho attitude to realize what Russia's main threat was.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, I mean, prior to 2014, Ukraine was aligned with Russia and refused to join the European Union, and that's when the coup d'etat happened. Okay, we got to take a thank you for the call. We got to take a break for station identification. We're going to open up the phone line, 512-248-8252. Please call in. We'll be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.